Glad to have both of you on here, and since you've both been on before, Dale and AJ, we'll start with Dale.
Yes, sir. First question is going to be on the Iowa caucuses and with the Democrats pulling out. In your opinion, what does that say about the health of the two-party system here in Iowa?
Well, first of all, they ought to realize that two Democrats wouldn't be president if it weren't for the Iowa caucuses. One is Carter. He was able to run for president on a shoestring, do it by living in Iowa for most of a couple years before the 76 caucus, and he came out on top, not very much on top, but he came out on top and became president of the United States. The other one was Obama, that had to show the country that he could get the votes of people that aren't members of minority groups. And he showed that in Iowa, that's not as diversified as a lot of states are. And that, I think, showed that he could be president. He was president for 8 years. So I think the Democrats are going to turn this over to the power brokers of the big states, where they can control things more than they can in Iowa, that has a more democratic process, small D Democrat. So I think that it's going to hurt Democrats' chances in rural America when they do what they're doing, and I think that they are eventually going to hurt Iowa being first in the nation for even the Republican Party over a period of time, and I hate that sort of thing. And I'm glad to know that Democrat leaders have said that they're going to abide by Iowa law and be first in the nation anyway. So I don't know where that goes as far as the rest of the Democrats are concerned, but I'm glad to hear that the Democrats in Iowa are sticking to their guns. AJ?
There is a concern, obviously, about the FBI's failure to respond to congressional oversight. There are six situations here that have taken place. What has been the resolve of this? I know you spoke on the floor about this recently, but what has happened since?
Well, we get letters to answer NARS, but they're just words on a sheet of paper. They don't really answer our letters. And we ask for documents, and we don't get documents. So they're violating their oath to us when they're coming before our committees, that they will do everything that they can to respond to congressional inquiries, and they aren't keeping their word. It's that simple. And the reason that they don't respond to it is because they're going to, it's going to be embarrassing to them in many cases. And that doesn't mean just embarrassing to Democrat administrations. That's even embarrassing to Republican administrations when they don't answer things. And if they did answer, they would be embarrassed. And it's wrong whether it's under Republican or Democrat. And the reason this oversight and these letters and getting documents is so important is transparency brings accountability. Back to Dale.
Yes, Senator. Currently, there are protests taking place in the street in Iran and other Middle Eastern countries. What's America's role in these protests?
To encourage democracy wherever we can and encourage sanctions against people that aren't that are violating the human rights of their constituents and things of that nature. There's no intervention on our part. But one thing that in the case of Iran that would really help the matter a great deal is if our president would say that there's no chance whatsoever of getting an agreement on the nuclear agreements that we had with Iran that President Trump pulled out of. This president's been trying to renegotiate them. I don't think there's any chance of getting them done any place. But if he would make that very clear, that there isn't going to be any such an agreement, that would be one way of showing support for the demonstrations that are going on and resistance that's going on in Iran. And to some extent, that would be true of China as well. AJ?
Sir, there is a report that has come out, evidently from the Department of Homeland Security, about 6,774 employees, about a quarter of the DHS workforce, say that they have there's been some sexual harassment that's occurred there in the office. What is the Senate doing now to try and curb this? Are they asking for information? What are they looking for?
Yeah. Well, my letter in regard to that would be to get all the information that we need, get it out in public, so we know, number one, the extent of sexual harassment and assault, and the extent to which we would find out in a definitive way what we've heard from whistleblowers, but get it documented that some higher-up people that have been involved in sexual harassment have been less punished, if punished at all, than lower-level employees. And that sort of unequal treatment is wrong, but the amount of this that's going on within the government and not enough information out about it is why I'm writing my letter. Dale?
Yes, Senator. The new Congress gets into place in January. Can you give us your thoughts on the agricultural economy as a new Congress starts looking at it?
Well, the main thing next year as far as agricultural legislation is concerned is the new five-year farm bill. 2023 is the last year of the 2018 farm bill, and we need to get that passed. And I'm hearing from farmers. By the way, I had three hearings on this, or I should say town meetings on this, during August break, two on the agricultural provisions of it, and one with nutrition people in Iowa on the nutrition aspect of the farm bill. And the two go together. And so that's very important. And what I've heard from farmers mostly is don't change the crop insurance provisions. I've heard some more money for agriculture research. I've heard more money for what we call foreign exports, the promotion of foreign exports of our surplus agricultural products, and then what would be maybe something dealing with CRP is the things that I've heard so far from farmers on that issue. And then don't forget the cattle bill. If we don't get it done this year, which it looks like we won't get it done this year, we need to get that done next year. And trade should be a top priority for the Biden administration, and it's not. And that's really not part of the farm bill. There's a little bit in the farm bill on trade, but trade issues tend to be in another committee, the finance committee that I sit on, and we've got to do more negotiation on free trade agreements.
Okay, sir, biofuels. We saw recently the EPA's RVO plan going kind of south, and we also saw some interest in this when the Chicago Board of Trade, where we saw prices, on, especially on the beans, dropping 40 cents. Has there been any progress in this area? Have you guys petitioned with the EPA to try and change their announcement?
No.
What are we looking at?
Well, first of all, it tends to be fairly favorable for ethanol, but for biodiesel and the advanced biodiesel programs that go beyond just soybeans, the use of input other than just soybeans is not being treated fairly. And I think we're going to have to concentrate on that, and we will concentrate on that, because if there's anything about fighting greenhouse gases, biodiesel is even more environmentally positive than ethanol. They're both very environmentally positive, but ethanol is not quite as good as biodiesel. So they treated ethanol pretty well, but not biodiesel, and that's what we have to fight. There is legislation in by Ernst, me, and Klobuchar to make E15 year-round, and it's probably odd, but we're going to fight for E15, and we're going to have the support of the oil companies this time that we haven't had in the past. And maybe I better not say oil companies, but they're members of the American Institute of Petroleum, and this organization has come out in favor of E15 year-round. That'd be very helpful. Next person, I forgot who I'm calling on.
Dale. Senator, in January, what are your committee assignments and roles? Are there any changes to what you'll be doing?
No. It'll be a ranking member of budget, which is different than my ranking membership of the Judiciary Committee because I've used up my 6 years being ranking member there. I'll be on agriculture, I'll be on finance, and I'll be on, agriculture, finance, budget, judiciary. Those committee assignments are the same as they've always been, and I'll be co-chair of the Drug Caucus. And then this will be the last question.
Senator, what are your thoughts on this Georgia election? How important is this to your party and to the people?
Very, very important. One more Republican seat in the United States Senate is going to make it easier for us to take over the majority in the United States Senate 2024 because there's 22 Democrat seats up and only 10 Republican seats. And this is a big factor. And the other thing is it's very important that the Senate be 50-50 instead of 51-49 because 50-50, then there's equal representation of Republicans and Democrats on each committee. Thank you all very much.